John about to enter, he asked them for money. How many know that, you know, it gets tough, right? And then being a beggar, you know, it takes humility, amen? And not only being a beggar, but outside of the temple, amen? And we see here, as we study a little bit deeper, that it says that he was crippled, that he was lame since birth. And as we study deeper, it says that he was over 40 years old. Amen? 40 years old to being crippled since birth. He was never able to walk. And not only was he crippled since birth, it says in the Bible that each day, not just once a week, not twice a week, each day he was carried. It's not like they left him outside of the temple, right? He didn't sleep outside of the temple. He had to have somebody carry him each day to the temple to beg for money, right? Each day. Now that tells me that he was consistent, right? He knew what he wanted and he went after it, no matter what it took. He couldn't walk, but each day he got there. Amen? Each day he got to the temple because he knew that he needed finances, right? He was crippled, so it was probably, he probably couldn't work. Or if he could, it was barely anything, but it says each day he was carried to the temple. Now that's consistency. He was carried every day and put in front of the favorite entrance, right? As we study a little bit deeper, it says that the beautiful gate is, you know, it was favored. The beautiful gate was favored. And that in Jewish religion, they counted it praiseworthy if you were to give to a beggar. Amen? If you were to give to a beggar, it was praiseworthy. See, he was wise in what he was trying to do and what he was accomplishing. He knew exactly where to go to get the most out of it. And he was consistently doing it every day, every day. People were walking past him every day. They were giving him money every day, right? But then Peter and John stepped on the scene. Amen? As we go to verse 4 through 6, it says, Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I do not have silver or gold for you, but I will give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." Amen. See, I believe that, you know, people were just walking past them, right? They were given what they had. But Peter and John, they knew what he needed. They knew what the lame man needed, so they gave him what he needed. Now, it wasn't silver or gold like he was asking for. It wasn't money that he was begging for. But they knew that he needed to be healed, right? So that many people could see what God is able to do. In these verses, it also shows that Peter was consistent. That he was consistent in going to God and getting a hold of God and being baptized in the Spirit of God. Because in order for this man to be healed, it was going to take Peter getting in the presence of God and the Holy Spirit working through Peter. Amen? So we see here that the crippled man, he was consistent. But we also see here that Peter as well was consistent. Amen? He spoke with authority and with the power of the Spirit of God working through him. He healed a man who was probably never going to be able to walk. Amen? He was crippled since birth, and because of the Spirit of God leading Peter, because of Peter being consistent in prayer, he was able to be healed. God used him as an extension. It was Peter's hand that reached out to him. It was Peter saying, "Look at us." Amen? It was Peter, but God was using Peter. See, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, like Peter was, you're able to do things that no person that isn't filled with the Spirit of God is able to do. And Peter, being filled with the Spirit of God, was able to see the need. Amen? He saw the need, but he wasn't going to just give him what he wanted. Peter was going to give him what he needed. The man that was crippled, he didn't just need finances. He needed hope. Amen? He needed a way out. He needed something more that finances weren't able to fill. He needed the Spirit of God to come with inside of him. Amen? See, some of us here this day need the Spirit of God to fall upon us. Amen? Oh, I think I'm talking to the wrong church. Amen? I said, I believe that the Spirit of God needs to fill us each and every day. Right? If not, we're going to go back to that crippled person that we used to be. Spiritually, amen? You may be here today thinking that you can't change because of the way that you have been. You may be here because you feel like, man, I can't change. I've been this way for too long. I lived this way my whole life. I can't be changed. I believe this crippled man didn't think he could be changed either, because he wasn't there asking for a healing. He wasn't there asking for prayer. He was there asking for money. I don't think he believed that he was going to be able to be healed because he lived that way for so long. But how many know God comes through at the right time? Amen? And I'm here to tell you today, my friends, that in the name of Jesus, you're able to be changed. But it's going to take you remaining consistent, right? If you want to change, you're going to have to keep, you know, staying in prayer. You're going to have to keep in the presence of God. You're going to have to keep doing what God has called you to do. If you step away from it, you're not going to get your breakthrough, amen? Now, we've seen how consistent the man was, and we've seen how consistent Peter was in the presence of God. As we go to verses 7 through 11, it says, then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in the amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Because of the man's consistency for begging for money at the temple, people recognized him. I put here, people are watching you, even if you don't think so. Amen? People are watching you. He was able to be recognized because of his consistency. People seen him there begging every day. So when they seen him walking and healed, they were astounded. They were amazed. They're like, what's happening, right? They never seen him walking before. They just seen him as a person who would always beg for money. They seen him as a person who was crippled, who would have to get carried every day to the temple. Amen? They were amazed at what they seen. They were amazed. And it says here that he praised God. Right? See, Peter could have got prideful. He could have said, yeah, I did that healing. Right? But he knew that it was the Holy Spirit working through him. Peter didn't say, in the name of Peter, get up and walk. No, he said, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. See, some of us are getting prideful. Right? We want to think, oh, yeah, I did that. That was me. Right? You see how that door opens good? Yeah, that was me. I fixed the hinges. Right? But we don't see that God gave us the ability, right, to work with our hands. We don't see that God fills us with his Spirit to be able to speak life into the dead. We get prideful. Amen? When you're consistent in God, people are going to want to follow you. People saw this man healed, and it says as you study a little further, that over 2,000 men were saved. Wow. Because of one man's healing, over 2,000 men were saved. I have a question here. With your consistency, are you leading people to get saved or away from God? What are you doing to get people closer to God? Or what are you doing that's pushing them away from God? We got to realize that we have an influence with the people that are surrounding us. Especially if they're younger than you. They're going to look up to you. They're going to see you as an influence. And if they consistently see us doing the wrong thing, well, guess what? They're going to do the wrong thing. Right, growing up, I seen my father being a drug addict, and, you know, I seen him consistently abusing drugs. And I would grow up and say, you know what, that's never going to be me. But guess what? I seen it enough, I had to do it, right? I became a drug addict. I started using drugs at a young age, smoking weed in middle school and going on to popping pills and, you know, doing all these kind of drugs. But I told myself that, nah, that's not going to be me. I'll never be like my father. Guess what? You seen it enough? That's exactly how I was, amen? Because I was following his influence. Though I knew it was wrong, though I knew where it was going to lead me, because I've seen my father overdose on heroin, and I've seen him get locked up, and I've seen the way that he acted, and, you know, I knew it was wrong, but yet it felt so right, right? It was because of my father not being there that I used the drugs to fill that void that was within inside of me. I couldn't explain it, but I knew that there was something missing within inside of my life. And not knowing who God was, I used drugs. I turned to the streets. I hung out with older people who made me feel like I belonged. I always hung out with older people. My mom would always tell me, like, why are you hanging out with that person? Why is he hanging out with a little boy like you? What is he doing? What is he showing you how to do? And I'm like, Mom, nothing. Knowing that, you know, it was the older people that were showing me how to steal cars. It was the older people showing me guns. It was the older people getting me drugs, right? My mom knew. But what could she do, right? She had, man, 5 kids that she was trying to raise without a father being there and in a bad neighborhood looking towards, you know, their young boys looking towards grown men for direction. And they were leading us in the wrong direction the whole time. But seeing that, I knew that one day something was going to have to give, right? I was tired of living that life. I was tired of, you know, getting high. We would come to church, you know, when we first got saved, I would come to church and have, you know, a pill in my door handle and a blunt already rolled up, ready to, as soon as I passed McDonald's, it was lit up already. Amen. But I knew the first day that I stepped into the church that something was different. The first day that I allowed God to step into my life, that something was different. But it was going to take me being consistent and coming to church over and over. On the days that I wouldn't want to come, I would still come. And it would take me to be consistent and knowing that, you know, my kids are going to grow up seeing what I seen. That's the last thing I wanted for my kids were them to see their father as a drug addict. The last thing I wanted my kids to see was me and my wife splitting up, because we've been through that with my father and my mother. The last thing I wanted for my kids to see was a man that loved drugs more than that he loved them. And that's what I've seen within my father. He was consistent in using drugs, so in my mind, being a young man, Dad loves drugs more than he loves me, right? If that wasn't true, then why would he steal my necklace and trade it for drugs? Amen? Why would he take our video games and trade it for drugs? But he was consistent in doing what he did. Now, we can be that bad influence in leading people to the streets, to something that's only going to fill the void for a temporary time. Or we can be the good influence that's able to lead people to Christ and know that there's an eternal life that's awaiting them. Right? We can be those good influence that show people that, you know what? Yeah, I've been through your struggle. Yeah, I grew up in a bad neighborhood. Yeah, I grew up in a messed up home. Yeah, I was destined for prison or death. We can show people that God is able to pull people out of the mess that they're in, even when they ain't even looking to be pulled out. See, this man who was consistently, you know, who was crippled for 40 years, I don't believe he was looking to be healed. He was just looking for finances. But because God knew what he wanted to do within this man's life and within many other lives, he sent Peter and John his way. This man wasn't looking for healing. He was looking for finances. But because of his healing, over 2,000 men were saved. See, God knew what he was doing. It just had to be at the right time with the right people. He knew what he was doing. With me coming to this church, he knew what he was doing. Even before I got saved, he used my cousin, a gang member, drug addict, that I was older but kind of looked up to him because he was all tatted up and, you know, he always, you know, had some good drugs and stuff. And he would tell me, you know, there's this church. It's called Victory Outreach. You should come check it out. And because of his influence, I stepped into the church. But it was then where God began to work within me. Though I wasn't looking for it, like this man wasn't looking for it, God knew what he was doing. And he knew the people that I needed to be around. He knew that I need a pastor like Pastor Charlie, right? Who's going to give you that spiritual whooping when you need it. And even if you don't need it, he's still going to give it to you. Amen? He knew that we were going to need to be around each other, a leadership, you know, within this church. He knew the people that we needed to be around. But it was going to take time. I put here, in being consistent, you must be patient. In being consistent, you got to be patient. If you can go to the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 12. Romans 12, 12. It says, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Be patient in trouble. See, too many of us, we don't want to be patient when the storms arise, right? Like when a physical storm comes and the rain is beating down on you, we want to run through it and get into the house, right? But in a spiritual storm, it says, be patient and keep on praying. Amen? See, too many eager to do what they want to do and aren't patient in their times of trial and fail because of their lack of consistency in prayer. Prayer is communication. Amen? When we lose communication with God, we lose our power. When we stop talking to God, when we stop hearing from God, we lose our power, we lose our instructions, we lose our direction. When we don't have the power of God, we allow our circumstances to stop us from being consistent. How many know when circumstances arise, it's hard to turn away from them? Right? When trials come, it's hard to turn away from them. Our focus is always on our trials. Amen? Our focus is always on our circumstances. What we have, what we don't have, what we need, what we want. And our circumstances overshadow what God is trying to do. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, it says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. Always be joyful. It doesn't say just be happy in the good times. No, it says always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. How many people belong to Jesus Christ in this place? Amen. Well, it says always be joyful. Not sometimes. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. Amen. For this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. See, when the storms come, we don't want to be joyful. We want to be mad. We want a pity party, right? We want everybody to feel sorry for us. But those who belong to Christ will rejoice and be glad, will be filled with the joy of Jesus, will never stop praying, will be thankful in all circumstances. See, we need to realize that this day that our circumstances can't stop us from going forward in Christ. That our circumstances can't stop us from doing what God has called us to do. It's God's word that says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. It's not our will, right? The Bible says, not my will, but your will be done. Amen. God's will. Never stop praying. See, it's in those times where people stop praying when the storms just continue to beat on them. It's in those times where you lose communication with God that your circumstances allow you to stop coming to God. Your circumstances stop you from praying, right? Well, I just got this new job and I got to start a lot earlier so I can't get up and pray. Amen. Your circumstances. I don't feel like praying because I'm tired. No. The Bible says never stop praying. Amen. Don't allow your circumstances to stop you from being consistent. Don't allow your circumstances to stop you from consistently going to God and robbing you of your joy. When you allow your circumstances to worry you and affect you, it's going to take your joy away from you. You're going to be stressed because your circumstances has your mind all messed up, right? Maybe some of your friends are trying to pull you away from the church, or your family is, you know, trying to keep you away from doing what God has called you to do. But you can't allow your circumstances to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. You got to be filled with the Spirit of God. You always have to be full of joy. People are watching you. When you're consistently full of joy, people are going to want to hang out with you. They're going to want, what you have. And being disciples of Jesus, that's what we have to offer, is Jesus. The one who can give you that peace, that joy. Amen? Don't allow your circumstances to keep your eyes off Jesus and on your problems. Amen? I was talking to some people, and I won't mention no names, but we were talking about how, you know, within our ministry, you know, churches get sent out, and you know, that one day we're going to be sent out to our city. And they're like, what? Doesn't your church know you have a family? And it was like, man, like, yeah, I know. But it's not the church that's sending us out. It's God that has called me. You know, it's God that's going to be leading me. It's not the church. I mean, though we're one, you know, within this ministry of Victory Outreach, it's God that has called me to go and start a church, to go start a new work in a new city. And I started to think on it, like, man, like, are they not happy for me? Like, didn't they see where I came from? They should be happy that God is taking me to a new place, right? Before coming to church, it was, you know, confined to the city of Milwaukee. The furthest I went was Chicago, amen, which was an hour and a half. But, you know, being a part of this ministry, I've been to Michigan, you know, Chicago over and over. I've been to California almost every year. God is showing me new things that I wasn't even looking for. Amen. And he always comes through. So we need to keep our focus on Jesus and not on our surroundings, on our circumstances. When we don't focus on Jesus and our eyes are fixed on something else, it's always going to draw us away from our calling. Amen. God has called each and every one of you guys to do great works. Amen. But if you fix your eyes on the things of this world, on the circumstances, you'll never be able to answer the call of God. When your focus is on God, you won't be worried about your circumstances. Because why? Because you know God is in control. Right? When you seek God with all of your heart, when you put him first, he's going to take care of everything else. The anxiety, the stress, the people around you. God is going to make a way for you to continue to go forward. Amen? If you are consistent in prayer, I believe God will continue to answer your prayers. Amen? When you consistently go to God and, you know, ask God, God, I need this. He's going to give you the answer you may not want to hear, but that you need to hear. Amen? If you're consistent in studying God's word, he'll give you wisdom and insight of his word. Amen? But you got to be consistent. You got to keep studying. You got to keep reading God's word. Even when it don't make sense, you got to be consistent. And as you consistently read God's word, he'll be able to give you insight. He'll be able to show you what he wants to show you. Because how many know we can all read the Bible and lose ourselves in it? Amen? We can, you know, get lost in scripture and not understand what's taking place. But as we continue to read it, God will continue to give you the understanding. Amen? I put, if you're consistent in giving, he will continue to bless you. Amen. I've been given to, you know, not just to the work of the ministry, but I've been given to God for years now, consistently, growing in our giving, and I've seen God move in a mighty and powerful way, especially, you know, within the last couple months. God has been blessing me beyond what I could imagine. Amen. At my job, I wouldn't say a promotion, but, you know, I got new hours. I just found out today where, you know, I'm not going to be spending the majority of my day at work, where I'll be able, you know, one day I'll spend, you know, from 7:30 in the morning to 9:30 at night, but Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I'll only be there from 7:30 to 5:30. Amen? And it's a blessing because now I'll be able to, you know, get out of work and go hang out with my family and not come home and they'd be asleep already. Amen? And the pay, you know, I got an increase in pay. So, you know, God has been showing himself faithful within my life for, man, longer than I can even go back. Amen. He has proven himself faithful since before I've gotten saved. There's been many a times where I should have been taken out. Amen. Stealing cars. I should have been locked up, doing drugs. You know, I should have been overdosing, you know, being stuck in the streets. I could have become, a gang member and could have been stuck in the street life. But God knew what he was doing and when he was going to do it. Amen. Too many don't see the results they want to see right away and stop going to God. When they stop going to God, they stop the blessing from coming to them. Amen. We've seen the consistency with, you know, the crippled man and within Peter, and we also need to see the consistency in the Spirit of God, right? He filled Peter and John, and he gave them the insight. He gave them the vision to see the need, but it was beyond what, you know, they could have imagined. Maybe they seen, you know, the beggar getting healed, but they may not have seen the 2,000 other men that were about to get saved, right? They may have just seen the little bit that God showed them, but God had way more in store than they could even imagine. Amen? The crippled man had to wait over 40 years for his healing. Amen? I don't believe some of us are waiting that long for God to move on our behalf, amen? Though he was asking for money, God gave him something greater with the ability to walk. Amen? He gave him something greater. He didn't just want to bless him with finances. No, he said, you know what? You, get up and walk, right? Get up and walk. You can use your feet to go make some money some other way. You, get up and walk. You've been begging for too long. Get up and walk. Amen? Get up and walk. See, some of us ain't crippled, but we don't want to walk, right? We want to be carried to the temple, right? We want to be carried every day to the church. Amen? But I believe that, you know what? God's going to break that spirit. God's going to give you a spirit of consistency of saying, you know what? I want to go to church. I want to get into the presence of God. I want to wake up early and pray. I want to study God's word. Amen? See, God is looking for people that want to be consistent. Amen? Sometimes we pray for God to do something, but God is looking to do something greater for you. And the Bible says, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. See, what we think of ourselves, God thinks way higher than we think of ourselves. Amen? God knows what he's able to equip us to do. But it's going to take us being consistent and getting into the presence of God to be able to receive what God has in store for us. Amen? Too many of us just want a handout when God wants us to do our part in being consistent and showing him that, you know what? Yeah, I do want this, and I'm going to continue to chase after it until I get it. Amen? I put here, you may be praying that you would get a promotion at work when God is trying to make you into a business owner. Right? You may be praying for, man, God, I need a good job. I need a new job. I need better hours. I need better pay, God. When God is shaping you and molding you to be a person that owns your own business. Amen? We got to think that way because God says that my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Amen? We put limits on ourselves, and we tend to put limits on what God is able to do. Amen? God healed this one person to save over 20 other thousand people. I know he didn't just have in mind just healing that one person. He knew that in healing this one person, the other people were going to be able to see what God is able to do, and they're going to want it. Amen? They're going to want what this man had, which was Jesus. He was filled with the Spirit of God. He said, praise God. Amen? Praise God. He was happy that he was walking. He never got to feel that feeling. He never got to be able to run at the altars or praise God like how he wanted to. But God gave him a second chance. God gave him the ability to walk. He had to be patient, and he had to be consistent. Amen? And he couldn't look at the circumstances that he was up against. Amen? In closing, as we go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. First Timothy 6:12 reads, fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses. Amen. See, God is looking to do something great, but he's looking for people that are going to be consistent in the midst of the troubles. He's not looking for some little sissies, right? He's looking for some people that are going to stand and stand some more, that are going to run the good race, that's going to stay fighting the good fight. He's not looking for, you know, he's able to shape and mold people. But I believe God, within the times that we're living right now, he's looking for some people that are going to stand He's looking for people that are going to be true witnesses of what he's able to do. Amen. To be able to testify and proclaim that Jesus is Lord and that he is our Savior. Amen. I put, in order to have the victory, you're going to have to stay in the fight. Amen. I put here that I've never seen a fighter win the fight standing outside of the ring. Amen. We got to stay in the ring. We got to know that we're going to have to take some punches, but we also got to know that we're going to have to throw some punches, right? To have the victory, you know, you're going to have to fight. You know, we have the victory already, but it's going to take us staying in the fight. Amen. Going to 12 rounds if it needs to. We're going to have to stay in the fight. In being consistent, you show God that you are serious in doing what God has called you to do. Amen. That you're serious. In being consistent, you show God, you know what, God, this is what I want to do. This isn't what I'm forced to do, because in being consistent, you got to want to keep doing it over and over, day in, day out, in the middle of the storm, you know, in the wilderness, at the mountaintop experiences, you know, in the midst of the storm, you got to show God that, you know what, I'm serious about this. You know what, I'm not taking for granted what you pulled me out of. I'm not going to take for granted the second and the third life that you have given me. I'm not going to take for granted what you have already started. Amen. Because the Bible says what he starts, he's going to complete. He's going to carry on to completion. I believe God has started a work with inside of each and every one of you guys. And he's looking for people to stay consistent. He's looking for people that's going to say, you know what? I'm going to stand. He's looking for people that are going to stay consistent in the midst of the storms. How many people want to answer the call that God has placed on your life? Amen. How many people want to do what God has called you to do? It's going to take you being consistent. It's going to take you doing things that you don't want to do, right? Things that you may not understand that you have to do, it's going to take you doing them because of leadership telling you. The people that have went before us, the people that have been through the process, that are still in the process, but that have been through the season that you may be in. You may not understand it at the time, but God knows where you're at. And God's going to use people to correct you. Even if it takes writing 1,000 scriptures. Hello. Amen. That's going to show you right there. You know what? I'm not going to write 1,000 scriptures. I'm just going to leave the home. Well, you know what? That's not God's plan. God's plan is for you to stay consistent in the things that he has called you to do. Amen. As we all stand. How many know times get hard? Amen. It gets hard to stay consistent in doing the will of God. It gets hard in, you know, doing what God has called you to do. But I'm here to tell you, my friends, that it's bearable. Right? The Bible says that, you know, God's not going to give you too much that you can't bear. God's going to put you in a position where you're going to be able to succeed. I've seen it time and time again where people give up. And they're not able to answer the call of God. But I've seen it time and time again of where people are consistent and where people continue to do what God has called them to do no matter what's taking place within their life. They keep coming. They keep praying. They keep studying. They keep, you know, they keep staying in the presence of God and getting the direction that they need, the counseling from our pastors, and they make it. Amen. We got to know that we're set up to make it. We got to know that we're set up to make it, to do great things, not just in the city of Milwaukee, all around the world. God is looking for some people that are going to stand and say, you know what, God, if you want to send me across the world, send me. I'm going to be consistent in what you have called me to do. Give me a one-way plane ticket, like Pastor Charlie said. A one-way plane ticket. I don't want to come back unless you call me back. I'm going to stay consistent. I'm going to stay in prayer. I'm going to stay in your presence. I'm going to stay among church people that are going to encourage me in my time of need. Amen. We need to remain consistent if we expect this church to grow. See, our pastor has been consistent. finally got a vacation. I haven't seen him, you know, doing anything since I've known him besides ministry. Vacation was going to Mighty Men of Valor, where he had to deal with a bunch of guys, right? A true vacation. But he earned it. Why? Because he's been consistent all these years. Consistent in, you know, checking us and encouraging us and loving us. And, you know, we have a pastor that has been consistent since I can say, you know, I've known him. We have a good example to follow. Amen? Amen? Who wants to be consistent this night? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you here this beautiful night, God. We thank you for you being consistent, God, for continually reaching out to us over and over, God. As we turned our back, Lord, you continue to reach out to us, God. And I just thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing, God. I thank you for those, Lord, that have heard your word and that are going to change to be those consistent witnesses, God, that you have called them to be, God. I pray, Lord, that this message pierce hearts here this night, God, that you're able, Lord, to move within the lives of your children, Lord. I pray, God, that you just continue to have your way with inside of each and every one of us, God. We thank you with all of our heart, God. We love you, and we all say, amen.
Amen. Powerful word, right? It's a powerful message, amen. I know that was all Jesus. I know I was really ministered to. I was really ministered to by that word. And that's the key of those who make it and those who don't. We see a lot of people who don't remain in the things of the Lord. Amen. But that word, consistency, that's Pastor Charlie's favorite word, amen. And we know Brother David, he's been consistent, amen. He's been consistent, and that's why God is raising him up. And God's going to use him and his wife in a mighty and a powerful way. Amen? How many were blessed tonight? You're blessed? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. David already closed out in prayer. Amen. So be dismissed. Amen. Be blessed and have a great night. Amen. God bless you.